This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, John Jastrzemski of The Ringer will join us. We'll go over the NFL card for the weekend, get his picks, thoughts on the games this weekend, futures, thoughts on Juan Soto, where he might sign, some of these baseball free agents, but we will talk football with John Jastrzemski coming up, and football is where we will start because, boy, I don't even know where to begin after that Thursday night game. The Browns beat the Steelers 24-19. The game goes over the total, and again, it's hard to pick where to start because what a weird game. A great game. Anytime you get football in the snow, it's just so much fun. I can't place my finger on why football in the snow is so enjoyable, but it just really does add to the fun of the game, just the visuals of it. It's so much fun. Nothing like a snow game, especially we don't get them, you know, very often. We get them just enough when we do get them, they're special, they're fun, especially on a primetime game like this. And wow, this played out like you thought it might play out early, where nobody scores in the first quarter. It looks like a typical, you know, an ugly Steeler game, an ugly weather game where it's scoreless in the first quarter. We didn't get our first touchdown until 4 minutes left in the first half. It's 7-3. And then eventually it's 10-3 at half. And this game is about to be put away. Cleveland's up 18-6 in the fourth quarter. And they give up a touchdown after it looks like they're about to put the game away because they had Pittsburgh way behind the down and distance. And then they rough the passer when Fields is in there. And then they get him down like third down again. And they get another personal foul. Somebody grabbed the mouthpiece of Pickens, I think, and that basically walked Pittsburgh into the end zone. A touchdown. They strip sack Winston, sets up another touchdown. You're like, oh my goodness, the Steelers are going to do it again. They're going to pull off their, you know, typical Steeler, come from behind kind of voodoo, just Mike Tomlin, how did he win that game sort of stuff. And we'll get to Tomlin here in a minute because he was a disaster in this game, an absolute disaster at the end. But then these teams, that happens where the Steelers take the lead with 6 minutes to go, and we still got a ton of possessions out of this. Cleveland gives it back, Pittsburgh gives it back, Cleveland gives it back again, and Cleveland just refused. And as they were getting closer and closer, they were running the ball. Guys were sliding all over the place, and this is a reminder. Wind is good for the under. Snow, people think snow, they think under, at least some people. Snow is not necessarily good for the under. It's actually kind of good for the over, especially you get lower totals. And I like the under here. I like Cleveland. I think it's more of like a lean to Cleveland and more lean to the under because I thought it'd be more wind, rain, the snow. Once you get snow, people start slipping and sliding all over the place. And you could see the offense was an advantage once you got that slippery field. And that's why Fields, I thought, was effective. And they probably should have used him even a little bit more. But Cleveland just got away from the run. They were very throw happy, but that's where this game got really, really weird at the end. There were four or five very strange plays. There was the play to Judy on the 3rd and 7 after Pittsburgh went back and forth. It looked like Winston might have grounded it. Then they were going to decline the penalty. Then they were going to accept the penalty after it was announced twice that the penalty was declined. The refs didn't know what was going on. The announcers didn't know what was going on. And then they complete the pass to Judy. He doesn't get touched. He gets up to run. Nobody had touched him. That could have been a touchdown. I think Judy thought he was touched. And then a Steeler goes to touch him, and they call a delay of game, which moved the ball even closer. And in between all this, Tomlin uses a timeout on defense with the clock stopped. And I get, hey, a stop ends the game. You want to organize yourself defensively, but you can't really use, we only have two timeouts left. You have to almost prepare for the worst case scenario there. And hey, if I give up a touchdown, this timeout, I'm going to need it. Or if they get close here, they can just kick a field goal. I'm going to need a timeout to preserve the clock so I have more time on offense. You can't just burn a timeout with the clock stop on defense like that, like it's no big deal. And then once Cleveland has first and goal, they run the ball. The clock is running, and he doesn't call a timeout. And he lets 40 seconds go off the clock. Cleveland runs it again, and I thought they were just going to, hey, you know what? I know the weather's a concern, and they're worried about the kicker. They're down at the 1 or 2 yard line. You center the ball. You could have basically run off all the time, kicked a field goal with like 15 seconds left. Cleveland goes in the end zone and give Pittsburgh, 45 seconds, a minute left to score. So terrible job by Tomlin burning the timeout when he didn't need to defensively. I know he wanted to get the defense organized. You can't be that frivolous with the timeout. And then he doesn't call the timeout and lets 40 seconds go off the clock. And then Cleveland, I thought, made a mistake by scoring the touchdown. Again, I know the kick's not automatic and you're dealing with snow. It wasn't Hurricane Andrea or whatever. It's not Hurricane Katrina out there. There's some snow. There's some wind. I get the kicker missed kicks last week, but it's an old school extra point. You're lined up. You're going to leave him with 15 seconds. If that guy can't make that kick, he shouldn't be on the team. So I would have just taken knees, kicked the field goal on fourth down, bled all the timeout, but just very strange plays all the way around. I would think this really hurts Tomlin for coach of the year. This puts Baltimore back in position where, if Pittsburgh had won this game, it would have put a lot of pressure on Baltimore to win Monday night against the Chargers. Now, if they can win against the Chargers, you're kind of right back in the mix, and you might even favor Baltimore if they were able to make up a game this quickly with the schedule, which we've talked about Pittsburgh has ahead. So, boy, what a strange game. A lot of moving parts. Look, Al's a legend. I like Herbstreit. They weren't exactly on top of the game situations either with, you know, the timeouts and what Tomlin was doing. They're not quick to criticize. I get a lot was happening, but it's not like they were, you know, pointing out all these things with the timeouts either. So, boy, that was a lot. That was a hell of a game. And talked a couple of weeks ago about the Chargers. It was the Chargers-Ravens that Thursday night game being the game of the year. This is right up there. And if this wasn't the best game of the year, this was certainly the weirdest game of the year. Just so many strange plays. Again, the penalty that was declined and accepted, and then eventually, you know, back and forth where they do accept it. And I don't know if that was the right decision. You know, fourth and two, you had a chance to just end the game with one play. You give them two cracks at it. That's kind of a coin toss. But the back and forth nature of it, I didn't even know once you declined the penalty, if you could change your mind and accept it. That was odd. There was the play on that same play where a lot of us thought it was grounding, but ended up being illegal touching by the lineman, which, you know, nobody really explained to us. Woof, just so many odd plays, so many twists and turns. Looks like a game Pittsburgh is dead. It looks like a game they're obviously going to win. And then they ultimately lose it in the end and bring the Ravens back into the mix here for a division. And good night for the Ravens. And good night. I mentioned Gannon for coach of the year at 20-1 a couple weeks ago. Good night for him, because I'll get to my picks here in a minute, because it sounds like Purdy's hurt. Some of the reports where he left practice, he tried to throw and he started practice, but he couldn't finish practice. If Purdy's hurt, and look, they might be dead anyway with their schedule, that puts Arizona in very good shape to win the division. Tomlin takes a step down. If you got an Arizona division title, I know you have to worry about Jim Harbaugh, the Chargers coach, Campbell in the mix. There's some other guys here in the mix. Tomlin's not going away in terms of this race, but Gannon creeps up and up even closer here, where, you know, you just wonder if Tomlin has too many of these losses as favorites. And look, they've had a good year. They've overachieved, but I thought a lot of this loss where he did not assert himself really well in this game, just botching the timeouts again. It's probably not going to go discussed, but a lot of people didn't even seem to notice it, but it does seem like Tomlin has too many of these. Remember last year, he lost a Thursday night game to the Patriots. He had a bad loss at home to Arizona. So he's good as an underdog. They play up to their competition. They play down to their competition. Tomlin and his Steelers have been like this for years. Even the Roethlisberger teams, which I thought were really, really good, and kind of did. It's funny. He does more with less now, where his teams I don't think are that talented, but he gets a lot out of them. I thought for years the Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Roethlisberger teams with James Harrison, those guys were really good, and they didn't really get a lot out of them after winning the Super Bowl in 2008. There were a lot of lean years where I thought they had a hell of a lot of talent. So, boy, just a fun game. The snow made it fun. The quirkiness made it fun. Just strange play after strange play. So I will get to my picks here in a minute before we get to JJ. So I'll get into them now. I'll say this. It's an ugly week. There's a lot of ugly home underdogs. I had a good feel for the games last week. I had a good feel for the card, you know, the last couple of weeks. This week is not the same. It's either when you're betting these games, you're picking these games, you're really like, oh, I really don't want to lay points on the road with this team, but I really don't want to take, you know, for example, the Giants at home getting six, but can you really lay six on the road with Tampa? Same thing with the Panthers. Do you want to take the Panthers plus 11 against the Chiefs? No, but boy, laying 11 on the road, there's a lot of these games. Broncos laying six to the Raiders. So it's an ugly card. I am going to go back to the well here with the Tennessee Titans plus eight. There's enough eights. There's some eights, some seven and a halves. They have actually, they've only covered one game this year. They have quietly played a little bit better. Their last four games, they have outgained their opponents in terms of yards per play. Levis has not been terrible. Three touchdowns, one interception the last two games. So there's a little bit of improvement, whereas he's taking care of the ball somewhat better. And I just think Texans are off of a short week. They have a shaky offensive line. Tennessee's good up front. And I guess Tennessee's due. I mean, are they, we're almost at Thanksgiving. They've covered one game all year. You figure the NFL, the spread is the great equalizer. Figure they're due for some covers. I think that'll be a lower scoring game too. I don't mind it under there. So I do like the Titans. And I also like Philly. Philly's been kind of a team I've been thinking is underrated. And I think Detroit is clearly ahead of them. And if Detroit gets that NFC championship game at home, which I think that's going to be the game, I'd love to see if any of these books, I know they have them before the season, odds on what will be the exact NFC championship game. You're probably not getting a huge number, but I'd be curious to see what it is. Because I think we're looking at a Lions-Eagles NFC championship game. And again, I know Devontae Smith's banged up, but that's a lot of firepower on offense, a good offensive line, you know, pretty good quarterback. He's a little up and down, but he's a pretty good quarterback, and a defense that's playing out of their mind. These two rookie corners are outstanding. So Rams, you don't give them too much for home field. Eagles laying 2.5. There's some threes. There's like a minus 145 money line. I am okay. Find the best number on the Eagles. I think the Eagles win this game. I think they are a cut above the LA Rams. And you know, those are really the only two I like. I lean towards the under and the Browns on the Thursday night game. Boy, if you had the under, that's a tough one. That is an absolute tough one because it's happening in slow motion. And depending on what number you got, it looked like, you know, you could maybe, if you had 37.5, you could maybe survive. If you had 37, you could maybe survive with a push. And then that last dagger at the end where Pittsburgh gets the ball back and they can't finish it out. So my picks here are, I'm going to go Titans plus the points. I'll take Titans plus 8. I will take the Eagles. This is minus 2.5, minus 120. So again, shop for the best number. I don't mind taking Green Bay just with the thought that, hey, if Purdy doesn't play, that line's going to go to, boy, if it's Dobbs as a backup, Purdy's got to be worth 3.6, maybe even a little higher, 6.5. I know Purdy's a polarizing player. There's some town around him, but hey, we'll find out what the market thinks of him if he doesn't play. And I think even if he plays, it seems like, you know, his arm, his shoulder is really bothering him. And just again, with the 49ers, just doesn't seem like it's their year. Vikings Bears has gone up to 3.5. This will be the last one. You can find this at FanDuel. The Vikings defense 31-1 to score the first touchdown of the game. I just think Flores versus Caleb Williams is a disaster waiting to happen. A rookie quarterback versus a defensive coach that's that good with that scheme. You could certainly see Minnesota getting an early score. So Minnesota 7-1. Minnesota defense is 7-1 to score a touchdown at any point. 31-1 to score the first touchdown. So if you're looking for a fun bet, that might be a fun one. So again, ugly card. You know, Seahawks Cardinals is a good game. The Sunday night and Monday night games are good. Eagles Rams is good. Ravens Chargers is good. But boy, there is a lot of slop. I mean, Broncos Raiders is ugly. Commanders laying 10.5 to Dallas is ugly. Patriots Dolphins okay. Titans Texans. Bucks Giants. Chiefs Panthers. Lions laying 7.5 to the Colts. It is not the prettiest card. So we will see what John Jastrzemski thinks of these games. We'll get his picks. We will talk to him next. We'll get his thoughts on Soto. Some baseball. That is next. This is Should Have Bet More Podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More Podcast. You can catch him. He is the host of the New York podcast at The Ringer, where he is the star of the network. And he joins us once again. It is John Jastrzemski. John, what's up, man? Appreciate you coming on. We'll get to some football here, but I have to ask, have you emotionally recovered from that fifth inning, now infamous fifth inning, game 5 of the World Series, Yankees and Dodgers? How's it going?
You know, I have to be honest, Will, I don't think I'll ever recover from that fifth inning, especially being at Yankee Stadium, watching Aaron Judge drop a fly ball, seeing Garrett Cole strike out Ohtani, and I believe it was either Edman or whoever, and it looked like he was going to get out of the inning, and then Garrett Cole doesn't cover first base. Yeah, until the Yankees win their next World Series title, and I don't think the Yankees would have won the series anyway. I want to throw that out there. I want to throw that major disclaimer into the equation. But yes, until the Yankees win title number 28, I will be thinking long and hard about that fifth inning at Yankee Stadium. Absolutely.
I regret asking now because now it's opening up old wounds. I'm totally with you. And Rizzo, you watch the replay of it. That ball's hit so softly. I know it had some spin on it, but you know he could have charged it better. Oh, man. But you can see, though,
when he fields the ball, his immediate reaction is in toss mode, right? Yeah. Like he catches the ball and you're expecting your pitcher to be there. Like that is, as someone that used to pitch, you know, on a ground ball to first base, your goal as the pitcher is to get your ass to the first baseline and run up towards first base. Whether you get it or not is besides the point. You cannot stand there, you know, basically scratching your rear end on the mound. Can't do it.
Yep. You're taught anything on the right side of the infield, second base, right field, just to get your brain in the habit of, hey, that side of the field, I get over there. And I went into that game, even when they were down 3-0, like, man, they could win game 4. Then they have Cole. I didn't think Rodon would win, but Ohtani was hurt. Judge was starting to heat up. So we'll never know. I think as Yankee fans, we have to tell ourselves we would have lost just to make ourselves feel better, but just brutal. Do you have any sense of where Soto's going to sign?
So it seems like it's a two-horse race, in my opinion. New York, New York. I would be very surprised if we're talking about any of these other teams involved, even if we're talking about the Dodgers being involved. I know they have the deferred money with Ohtani. I know in theory they can do it. I just don't think off of a World Series, that urgency for them is going to be there. I think they'll be far more focused in restocking their starting pitching, which obviously needs some work, and they might lose Buehler in the offseason. I don't think Soto's going to the Dodgers. I think if the Yankee offer is close and competitive to where the Mets are, close. I'm not saying it's got to be higher. I think if it's close, he'll be back with the Yankees. If it's not close, and we're talking about a sizable money difference, I mean, we're talking $50, $60 million, then I think Juan Soto's a Met. But I think he's either a Yankee or a Met. I do not think he's leaving the state of New York.
Yeah, I agree with the Dodger point. The Yankees have a desperation that will drive up the point. The Mets are highly motivated. The Dodgers, yeah, it's the old saying, you can't fake desperation. And okay, you can throw your hat in the ring, you can make an offer, but they're not as motivated as the Mets and the Yankees. And boy, if the Yankees ever lost them, there is just no forgiving Hal Steinbrenner for this. You could bring in whoever you want. There's just no replacing them. I don't know where you go from there, but we'll see. We'll hope it works out. It'll be interesting. I don't know when we'll get a decision. These tend to drag out. I remember last year, Yamamoto was around Christmas. Remember Harper and Machado?
I think the winter meetings are what? That second week in December?
Yeah.
I doubt it happens before that. It probably happens. I would say before Christmas. I'd be stunned if Soto doesn't have a home before Christmas.
And last one on baseball, you think Sasaki is a Dodger or somewhere else?
See, we talked about that sense of desperation not being there for the Dodgers with Soto. I think it will be there with Sasaki, especially with Ohtani being there and with Yamamoto being there. There's that sort of brotherly kinship that you have with the Japanese player. I'm going to say Sasaki, yes, will end up being a Dodger.
Yeah, I didn't know if he looks at that as a positive. Hey, I can fit in. I can be more comfortable. I know these guys. Or is this like from a marketing standpoint, I'm not going to stick out. I'm going to be third fiddle behind these guys. And it's a negative. So, look, you can never bet against
Depends
the Dodgers.
Depends on what the person's looking for, right? Like, some guys want to just fit in. They're going to a new country. Hey, let me be with some guys that know the way of the land. But if Sasaki says, hey, I'm better than Yamamoto, I want to be the guy on my own staff, then he's going to look to leave. That's a fair question. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know him well enough to have an answer.
Yep. No, I would agree. All right, NFL. I guess we'll start with this. Anybody that's not in first place right now that you think wins a division?
Well, I got to think about this. Nobody in the AFC East. Nobody in the AFC South. See, I would want to fade Houston. Here's the problem, Will. Houston beat Indianapolis twice.
Yep.
That's a major, major problem. And you tell me Anthony Richardson's got to go and make up that ground. I'm not there. So I think Houston by default wins the division. Kansas City obviously is going to win it. They're not choking. I don't care. They are not choking the division. I'd be stunned if that happens. NFC, let's think about this. Lions, no. I'll give you the one. I don't feel great about it. Let's say Tampa in the NFC South.
Not a bad one.
Now, they lost twice to Atlanta, too.
They did.
Which is problematic. But I don't like Atlanta at all. And I think Baker Mayfield's got balls and he's got toughness. And that team is tough. They should have beat Kansas City a couple weeks ago. They were right there with the Niners, even though statistically speaking, they weren't.
Easy schedule.
I don't want to give you the NFC West, Will, because those teams are all like within a game of one another. And, you know, like for me to say, oh, I think the Niners are going to figure it out and win a division. I feel like that's a lame one to give you. You know
plus
what I mean?
Plus 350, though. I mean, there's a plus 350 out there in San Francisco, which I have to admit I'm tempted by. It's just their tiebreaker scenario is going to be such a disaster because they've lost so many division games. They've lost, you know, home games. They lost to Arizona at home where – boy, they're going to have to win it outright, and their schedule's tough. They still play in Detroit. They play Buffalo. I mean, their next two games are, I think, at Green Bay and at Buffalo. I mean, that's – boy, you're probably talking about them having to go 5-2 the rest of the way, and I just don't know the way they're playing if they're capable of doing that.
And we've seen historically with that Super Bowl loser.
Yep.
It just doesn't end up going your way in many instances here. And the Niners are kind of profiling as one of those teams that it looked like they had figured it out. It looked like they were going to move past the injury bug. I had in a money line parlay, three-leg money line parlay. I had the Packers, the Dolphins, and they were the last leg. That's a cruel way to go home, Will. Let's just put it that way. Very cruel.
And you know when you punt, I know it was like 4th and 5 or 6, but man, like the 26 yards you gain in field position, you don't expect Geno Smith to go the length of the field. Then he runs for 20 yards. They throw a pass to Smith and Jigba. They run for another 20 yards. Just a terrible loss. And they've had some brutal losses. How about AFC? We know six of the seven playoff teams. We've known them for quite a bit now. You're a Dolphins guy. How do you handicap the race for the last spot? Dolphins, can they win enough games here? Bengals, Broncos, somebody else. What are you looking at here in this last spot?
Listen, Denver has the inside track. There's no denying that. They're well coached. They have played really good football for the most part this year. I can't quit the Bengals. It's crazy. Well, I can't quit them. Like I know I see those games against the Steelers late in the year. They could beat the Steelers. That's the thing with Cincinnati. They can beat anybody. We've seen that. But they also are a team that hasn't earned your trust. They have found ways to lose so many of these close games. You know, I picked Cincinnati as an over at the beginning of the year. I picked them to win the division. So I keep looking at them as the team that's going to make the move. And I probably should just abandon ship. Miami's interesting. Miami has four games they can't lose on the schedule. They have New England this week. Can't lose that game. They have the Jets twice. You can't lose those games. They have Cleveland. Assuming they can get all four, which is a big, big assumption, right? Because it's the NFL and weird things happen and you never know week to week. Then if you look at their three tough games, the tough games that I saw on the schedule early in the year, I looked at Houston, and I'm like, wow, that's going to be a real impossible game to win. The more I watch the Texans, the more I think that game has become winnable. The Niners at home. Beginning of the year, I'll be like, yeah, you're not beating the Niners at home. Now you watch the Niners and you're like, I'm not saying it's guaranteed. It's a winnable game. Green Bay is the game I'd be stunned if they win. Because you're talking about cold weather, yeah. Thanksgiving. Sure. Let's put it this way. Well, if the Dolphins go into Green Bay and beat the Packers, I think they're going to the playoffs. Because I think that will be the sort of holy smokes type of moment that maybe they've kind of turned over a new leaf as a team. But like, I saw the look ahead line for that game is at 3.5. I'm like, wow, that seems well. I fully expect that everyone on Thanksgiving night, after they're done with their turkey, after they're feeling a little sleepy, and you're definitely going to be sleepy if you're watching Tommy DeVito and Cooper Oof. Rush in the 4 o'clock game. I expect that the books are going to get massive, massive, massive Green Bay action. We'll see how that works out.
Yeah, and I think it was before they played the Rams on Monday night, 10 days ago or so, last Monday night, I was looking at Miami to make the playoffs, and they were about 2-6 at the time, and I was hoping for like a 5-1 and a 6-1, and it was only like 3-1 plus 350. So the books have been kind of on to this idea that, hey, Miami with their talent, with their schedule, can get back in. And so I didn't make a bet. That was one maybe, you know, while Tua was hurt, maybe that was the time to jump in. So I haven't jumped in. Have you added anything midseason, futures, awards, anything like that?
What have I added? I got to think about this. Oh, you mentioned the Niners. I didn't get the best of the number. Before they played that Thursday night game against Seattle, they were even money to win the division. And they were a 3.5-point favorite. I bet the Niners to win the division. Now, you mentioned I could get 350. So that's one that I have to be honest here, dude. I don't feel particularly good about, but I am sharing it for the sake of transparency. I love that I'm checking the account now, trying to think of what mid-season bets have I made from a future standpoint. I'm looking really good on a lot of my futures. I have a Detroit ticket to win a division. I have them over. I have them at the Super Bowl. I have a Green Bay 20-1 ticket from the beginning of the year that I got to be honest, I don't feel good about. What's the other one I've added here? No, if you want my win total, I haven't added much. I have Arizona over win 7.5. Feel great about that. I have New Orleans under 7.5. I felt better about it with Dennis Allen coaching the team, but I still think we're going to get there.
Your favorite.
When it's all said and done. Still think we're going to get there. The one and Detroit's looking good, and Green Bay over is looking good. The one that is going to be real dicey for me, and I think it might come down in the final game of the year, I have Rams under 8.5 wins. I think that will be right on the number.
Yep, that's probably going to come down to the final week. Anything you like this week? Man, there are a lot of ugly dogs, a lot of home dogs. This is a plug your nose type of week. What have you bet? What are you interested in this weekend?
Very, very tough week. Very, very tough week. The first game that stood out to me was Tampa Bay against the Giants. You know, I think a lot of people are going to look at this game and they're going to make the argument, oh, quarterback change. Oh, they're going to be inspired. Oh, they're going to be pumped up, ready to go. I don't see it. Tommy DeVito won a couple of meaningless games last year. Whoop-de-do. That whole team knows. Everybody in the locker room knows. Not that Jones is any good, but Jones is being benched because of an injury guarantee. That's the only reason why he's being benched. This is not, hey, Tommy DeVito gives us the best chance to win. If you buy that nonsense, good luck to you. Tampa needs this game. Baker, to me, is tough as nails. He finds a way. You want to tell me the Giant defense keeps him in it? Why? Giants can't stop the run. What motivation do the Giants have going into this game? I know it's a small favorite. I know it's going to sound a little fishy. I don't care. I'm absolutely betting Tampa this week. That's one I am absolutely on. Sorry. The Tommy DeVito nonsense, I'm not about it. That's number one. The other game I'm looking at here that I'm thinking long and hard about, I'm thinking about holding my nose here. Call me crazy, Will. Call me crazy. I kind of like Vegas plus 5.5 against Denver.
You're in a position this week where a lot of teams are laying points on the road that you wouldn't think would be laying points on the road. So
bingo, way too big a number.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know they were great last week. I know they dominated. Vegas was low-key in that game. I'm not saying that they were. You never felt like they were going to beat Miami last week. I watched that entire game. Never for a moment did I think they were going to beat Miami. I thought they did some decent things offensively with the new offensive coordinator and got Brock Bowers involved. Division game, 5.5. That's a – you know what that is, Will? That's a hold you know special and hope it's a three-point game. That's what I think.
Yep, it's it's an ugly week. I mean, Cowboys and Commanders, should the Commanders, with the way they're playing, really be laying 10.5? But do you want to bet?
No, but like, do you want to take Dallas? Exactly. I mean, you just watched them on Monday night. I'm not exactly rushing a window to take Dallas. I'm looking at the board now because I really have not bet anything other than Tampa, but I was leaning towards Vegas. The other one I'm thinking about Indy plus 7 in the hook. I know it's crazy to fade Detroit.
It's a scary team to step in front of. It really
I know. And at Dome, Goff, the whole deal. Can you see them coming to play, though? Doesn't that reek of like a 35-31 game?
I've been thinking, like, is Detroit really just going to do this every week? Are they going to steamroll people to like a 16-1, 15-2 record? Now, they have a game against the Bills, the 49ers. They play Minnesota again. And, man, it's tough because I'm a Minnesota fan. And, boy, they had the ball up one late, a first down pretty much ended the game. Minnesota could be looking at a one seed. I don't know if they can come back and win that division. So maybe that can be tough. But with the way Detroit's playing, you know, it's the squarest thing to be like, oh, I like the shortest shot on the board. I think that's a good bet to win the Super Bowl. But if you're asking me, like, right now, odds to win the Super Bowl, what's the best bet? You might look back in a couple months and say, man, I could have had Detroit at 4-1. Maybe I should have grabbed that. I actually don't think that's a bad number because they are just killing people.
Get that one seed, they're going to be tough to beat in that building. The other thing. It's not like they got to go on the road. It's not like you got to have Goff in cold weather. They're going to have it dialed up exactly the way they want it dialed up. That means somebody's got to be able to go and match them. I don't know if there's that team in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be teasing Detroit this week, I think. Take them from the
seven. See, that's a good – you want a good tease this week? That's good with Miami.
Yep, I think
Miami to just win the game. That's all. You don't want to mess with the 7, 7.5. Miami to win the game.
And I would think the Texans would probably be a good teaser, like, too, right around 8, 8.5 to take them down under the 3 because, my goodness, the Titans, I learned my lesson with them the first month. Oh, there's value on this
dude,
week.
I bet the Titans way too much awful. This year. I had them against awful. Green Bay early in the year.
Me too.
I had them against the Jets earlier in the year. The Titans are one of those teams. They're persona non grata. I am not. And there are a lot. The problem is this year, Will, there are a lot of teams that I look at these cards and I look at the window every week and I'm like, I don't want to bet this team.
Yep.
I don't want to bet that team. And it's painful. Very, very painful.
Do you know how many times they've covered this year?
Once against Miami.
You got it. Yep, that's amazing. NFL, no matter how bad you are, like the Carolinas of the world, these teams rarely like do that where they're 1-8 against the spread or something because the spread, like that's why it's the spread. It's the great equalizer. So you don't see a lot of, hey, they've covered one game and we're at Thanksgiving. It doesn't happen. But they've been that bad. It's crazy.
They have. And listen, Miami, they could have had any semblance of a backup quarterback with Tua.
I know.
You want... And it goes to show you, for the Tua hater out there, look at the difference when he plays and when he doesn't. I mean, my God. My God. It's a different team. Totally different team.
Yep. I still think he has his limitations when you put him outdoors against a good defense. Like the Kansas City game sticks in my mind. But when he's in that environment, look, they're a machine on offense.
I mean, it's a lot like Goff, man.
Yes.
It's a lot like Tua, Goff, Purdy, all kind of are in that similar ilk where, like, They're really good at mastering the art of their system. And when things are comfortable for them, when things are not comfortable, how do they respond? What's been impressive to me about Tua, if you've watched him since he's come back, he's throwing and moving on the run a lot better than he has. And that was an element last year that, hey, the pocket collapsed, didn't know where he was going with the ball, be a mess. Him going off script a little bit more, I think it's been something that I've seen in these games. Maybe that's an evolution for him moving forward. We'll see.
Yeah, those three guys are, it's a little like a pitcher who doesn't have great stuff, but they have to hit corners, they have to have movement, and if they're in the middle of a plate, they can give up six or seven runs, but as long as they're, you know, hitting their spots, they can be effective. But JJ, appreciate it, man. Hopefully next time we talk, we're talking about the reuniting of Aaron Judge, Juan Soto on the Yankees, and everything is okay. But I don't know, you're more confident than I am, but I appreciate the time, man. Thanks for coming on. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Anytime. New York. We'll be following the Soto sweepstakes. It's the worst football season in New York maybe ever with the 3-8 Jets, who I said yesterday on the pod, and I stand by it, the biggest flop that we've seen in New York sports in my lifetime. With that quarterback, a 14-year playoff drought, and to be 3-8, as bad as it gets. But New York, Ringer, Spotify, gambling. You want picks? East Coast Bias, Ringer Gambling Show. Check that out on the Ringer Gambling feed and then nightly on SNY in New York.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, Will. Thanks, buddy.
All right, that will do it. Thank you to John Jastrzemski. Thank you guys for listening. Rate, review, subscribe. See you Monday.